This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Off the ball, GAA.
Do you know, do I miss being at the matches and going, do you know, being on the bus? And you do a bit, or do you miss the thing? But what you miss is the journey. You miss planning. You know, as I said, like the 2 weeks now after the Limerick game came up, the Waterford game, they would have been so enjoyable.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Formula One pod on Off the Ball. Brought to you by KitKat. Hit pause. Have a break. Have a KitKat.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Formula One podcast. The F1 pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by KitKat, bringing breaks to the fastest sport in the world. Hashtag have a break. I'm delighted, as usual, to be joined by Ciara Tracy beside me. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. And it's lovely to have you here because you weren't here the last time we were chatting to our guest today.
And I had massive FOMO. So this is really exciting.
We're delighted to be joined on the line by Finn McLaughlin. Finn, how are you?
Thank you very much for having me.
No problem at all. Listen, you have a very exciting couple of days coming up. You're in Austria at the Red Bull Ring. Is that correct?
Yeah. Currently in Austria, I'm getting ready to test tomorrow. So some prep to do today. But it's starting to kick off back in the car now soon.
And you have 2 days of in-session testing. What's that going to look like for you guys? What are you hoping to get from the next 2 days?
Just, you know, a reset, getting back into the F3 car after, you know, a kind of a long time since Melbourne. So, like I said, just getting the cobwebs off and starting to get back into the flow of things. And we're going to be trying a few setups, you know, like it's a test. So this is where you want to try things and try to find time for the car. So, yeah, it's just all about seeing how quick we can be in the test. But, you know, obviously it's not so important about speed yet. So we'll be just focusing ahead for Monaco.
Now, I'm sure that you've done this track plenty of times in the simulator, but have you actually ever driven there before?
I've done a good bit in the simulator, but I haven't been here yet in real life. So this is the first time I've been here. So yeah, can't wait to get going.
Because you have Austria coming up this summer. So how important do you think it is to be able to test out this circuit a good bit beforehand? Do you think it will make a big difference when it does come to the Austrian Grand Prix?
Yeah, 1,000,000%. We're going to get a lot more laps than we would in the Grand Prix weekend. In the Grand Prix weekend, you only have one practice session before quali, so it would have been very hard to just jump in and adapt straight away. I did that in Melbourne, which was fine, but here, yeah, it'll definitely be a help for me to get a few laps under my belt.
And, I mean, we're looking at, as you said, looking ahead to Monaco, it's been a big, long gap from Melbourne and even from the last time that we were chatting to you here. Are you excited to get back in the car? Is there a bit of nerves? Is it just kind of, I can't wait to sit down and actually get back racing?
Yeah, no nerves yet. And it's only a test, so just can't wait to drive, to be honest. Obviously, during the break, we've been on the simulator flat out, but, you know, it's been a long time since I've been in a car, so it'll be very nice just to get back into things, you know, feel the speed of an F3 again.
And talking about racing, am I right in saying you got involved in the Red Bull Soapbox racing in Belfast at the weekend?
Yeah, that was very fun, good experience. I didn't get to drive it. It was a bit too dangerous, but it was nice to be there.
What was that like? It must have been, was it quite weird? Because obviously you're with Red Bull. Was it weird seeing so much representation in a place so close to home like Belfast? I think it's been 10 years since we last had a Red Bull Soapbox race in Ireland. So was that quite crazy for you to have so much familiarity around you?
Yeah, the atmosphere was crazy as well. There was about 30,000 people at it, which was pretty insane. And then, like you said, to have Red Bull close to your home and just have so much people out there to just watch people go down a hill. Pretty crazy, but it was very enjoyable. I loved it. The weather kind of ruined it at the end. It was such a great event, and then it started to lash it down, which is typical Ireland weather, but it was fun while it lasted.
Kind of in the opposite end of the spectrum then, we were at Mondello Park a couple of weeks ago. I think we were on the Saturday and you were there on the Sunday, but we had lovely weather. And we were looking at the kind of crowds of people that were coming to Mondello, and then you see as well the thousands of people coming to Belfast. It really feels like motorsport has never been so popular in Ireland, or at least it hasn't been for a very long time. Can you feel that excitement when you're doing events like these? And why do you think it's becoming so popular?
Yeah, I think I can agree with you. I feel like now with more social media and promotion stuff, people tend to, you know, enjoy motorsport more now. They see more of it online, and I feel like that's the main reason. Social media is such a strong thing now. It promotes many things, and you know, people, a lot of people probably wouldn't know me other than social media. So it's great to see such a good sport now getting more looked at by the fans, and yeah, I can definitely notice more people enjoying it as well.
Yeah, because when we were at Mondello, what was amazing to see was how many young people as well were there, excited to see Alex, and then the next day excited to see you. But also we have this whole generation that had come before, and we were chatting to Derek Daly, of course, still the record holder for points scored in F1 by an Irishman. And he was so optimistic about the future of Irish motorsport, speaking about yourself, speaking about Alex Dunn. Do you feel kind of I don't want to say a sense of pressure, but do you feel that there's an acknowledgement there from those who have come before you that, okay, we're carrying on something here?
No, yeah, like seeing the young people looking up to us, it's nice to see. You know, my younger self would have probably been the same, and it shows how much younger talent is loving the sport now. And yeah, I think the pressure we hold isn't too high. You know, it's something I love, and it's something that I knew was going to happen. You know, the more you go up, the more people follow you, and the support you get is pretty great from back home as well. And I'm just grateful to have the people who support me and push me on towards and being better as a driver. I feel like it's just something I enjoy, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
And on that as well, is there much camaraderie between Irish drivers, do you think? Obviously, we don't have huge names in the kind of motorsport world when it comes to Irish drivers, but would you say chat to Alex Dunn? Is there much of a chat kind of, you know, going on between you guys to help each other out or give each other, you know, that support?
Yeah, I mean, me and Alex spoke at Mondello. He very nice to speak to him. I haven't seen him in a long time, and I think we're obviously trying to go up the ladder together, and it's definitely nice to see someone obviously to chase from Ireland as well. And to I asked him things that maybe can help me as well, and for sure the support's good, and many other drivers from Ireland doing the GB4 and stuff like that as well. It's if they ask for advice, I give it. It's free, so I like to listen and see what other people think, but it depends how you take it.
We asked ourselves when we were chatting to Derek Daly last weekend, we said, if you had to give any advice to young drivers on how to handle Monaco, what would you say? And his top word of advice was patience. How are you looking to prepare for Monaco? It's obviously such a historic track. What's your preparation looking like?
Yeah, we can't get any test days there, so mainly the work's on the simulator. And I think we've been preparing well. Obviously, there's still a few weeks till we're there, but we've been trying, obviously preparing for Red Bull Ring test and then heading into Monaco. It's like you said, it's patience. You know, you can't just overdrive, or you'll end up in the wall very easily. And for me, I just need to build into it. I have one practice session to get up to speed, and then, you know, get close to the limit and qualifying and try to do the best I can.
And this is a question we asked a lot of people at Mondello. Well, one of the questions was, what do you hope to see from the future of Irish motorsport? What kind of, you know, infrastructure, or what do we kind of want to see to help develop other young drivers in Ireland?
I want to see champions, obviously. It'll be good to see Ireland across all motorsport do better. As we are now, we're going up the ladder better in all sports, and I feel like I can see that, you know, across rallying and everything. And for the younger generation, you know, my advice is just to keep working hard. You know, there's a long journey ahead, and it's just trying to keep your feet in the ground and not get ahead of yourself, and just work with what you have. And that's what we did. I kind of just loved what I did for a long time and just enjoyed it for fun. And it kind of became where I was starting to get pretty good at it and, you know, going up the ladder and go-karting and had the chance to go to single-seaters. And I then realized that, you know, this is maybe a dream that might come true. And now it's more of a reality and I'm trying to, you know, just do the best I can and focus in the moment.
And a question that we were asking as well to people in Mandela last weekend was that if you could build a fantasy F1 track somewhere in Ireland, don't let physics or road rules bother you. Where would you like to see in this fantasy world a Grand Prix circuit in Ireland?
Oh, that's a difficult one. That's hard for me to say. I feel like, you know, anywhere in Ireland would be very cool. I wouldn't complain, but... Yeah, I think somewhere, the big cities, like seeing a street circuit, maybe in Dublin or Cork or, you know, Belfast or somewhere in a big city would be cool. But that's kind of, hopefully, if that happens, that would be unbelievable. But that's more of a dream.
And moving on to another sport close to your heart, we saw that you were playing a bit of golf this morning in Austria. How was that?
Yeah, nice. Just, you know, I feel like golf's very... a sport where you can stay present, and when you're playing golf you don't really think about anything else other than where you're at, and it's quite good just to, you know, fresh your mind before you start getting into a very high speed car again and trying to keep the adrenaline low. And yeah, I feel like golf's good for the mind, and I just played for fun, and I had a great morning. Weather's good in Austria, so it was good to make use of it.
And tell us, what did you think of the PGA Championship? It's a shame for Rory.
Yeah, I feel Aaron Ray did very good. It was a long time coming. He's a very accurate golfer. And I feel like in the PGA Championship, that course was all about accuracy. You know, distance wasn't the advantage, as you've seen. You know, Rory could have did better, but he's still doing a good job, still finishing always at the front end of the field. And it shows why he's so good. But yeah, it was annoying not to see him win, but you're not always perfect. So you have to give someone else a chance sometimes as well.
And, you know, it's funny that you say, you know, you golf for fun, but I was watching a video of a five-year-old Aaron Rye. It was a BBC interview done years ago. And they asked him, it was about his golfing gifts, but they asked him, what do you want to do when you're older? And he said, racing driver. Which I thought was so funny. Yeah, he had aspirations. He was a big Ferrari fan as well, I believe. So I had a question. You know, did you ever think about being a golfer yourself?
Nah. Really? I was always going to be a racing driver. I never really took on golf till I was about 14.
Okay.
You know, I took it more serious when I came a bit older, like 15. You know, I played it for a long time, but I didn't really start it until I was a bit older. And my whole life's just been racing. There was nothing else. A bit of Gaelic football and maybe a bit of hurling, but I never really enjoyed it like I loved racing. And I just kind of always knew it was my favourite.
That's great, though, to hear that you're taking on so many other sports for kind of different reasons. You have, you know, golf that maybe will keep you present and relaxed so that you can go in a car and push as hard as you can, as I guess you're going to be aiming to do to a certain extent as you test in the next few days. Long runs, short runs, hopefully a bit of everything. Is it over 2 days, this testing?
Yeah, we tested Wednesday and Thursday. It'll be a lot of laps done, and hopefully the weather's quite good as well. Wouldn't mind a bit of rain to see how we fare out in the rain. We haven't got much racing in the rain yet, so it'll be nice to get a bit of both conditions.
Do you find that drivers from Ireland and the UK are a bit better in the rain, if they're more used to growing up with it?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I feel like if you're growing up in a place where it always rains, and yeah, definitely the drivers from that type of maybe England, wherever it is, Ireland, definitely are better in the wet. But you always get a surprise. There's always people. It's F3 now, so everyone's going to be good in any condition. It's, you know, the higher you go up, it's always close in every single condition.
And you guys are all there now in Austria. Have you guys had much of a chat? Have you chatted to the other drivers in Formula 3? Have you had a chance to maybe talk over the break as well? Or is it very much you're in your own lane? I know you're big on self-improvement as well. So has it just been head down thinking about yourself, or have you kind of chatted about what you're expecting from the next 2 days?
No, I haven't seen anyone yet. Only arrived, but I kind of just keep to myself. You know, there's not much to speak about other than focusing on myself. Like you said, it's all about self-improvement for me. And yeah, I'll have a chat. Everyone's quite friendly in the grid, but we all keep to ourselves really, and we all want to win, so we don't really want to tell anyone anything.
Well, we're going to wish you the best of luck for your next 2 days of testing, and we'll certainly be chatting to you again throughout the summer. Is it a bit too early to wish you good luck for Monaco? We'll wish you good luck anyway. Finn, thank you very much. Thank you very much for chatting to us today.
Thank you.
Very excited to be joined by Laura O'Connell. Laura, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. It's really exciting to have you. For people who don't know you yet, you are a racing driver originally from Clare. You are also a biochemist. So you're a woman in STEM and a woman in motorsport. You have a fascinating story. And I suppose I just want to start by asking how you're getting on at the, is it the Radical Cup that you're competing in? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I had my first race last weekend. The Maybank Holiday weekend. And it went okay. It could have went a lot better. So I started out the week, unfortunately, with a family loss. So that kind of put me deciding whether I was going to race or not. And ultimately, I did decide to go. So I went racing Friday. We had test day, which is usually on the track that you are going to be racing at the weekend. But this weekend was a bit different. So we were doing the Indy track on Friday test day, and we were racing the GP track at the weekend. So I was going into Saturday having never raced or driven the GP track. So qualifying was spent learning the track, which was quite difficult. And, you know, everyone else there had already driven the GP track. So I was at a huge disadvantage, and I qualified 17th, which was, I was expecting going out there and not knowing the track. And yeah, so then went into race one with starting at the back of the grid. And with 3 minutes to go, I just binned it. I put it in the gravel and ended up causing a red flag, and the race was over. So a DNF for me, unfortunately, on race one. But race two went a little better. I obviously knew the track going into Sunday, so that, you know, was, I suppose my mind was a little bit calmer going in on Sunday, and I ended up finishing 12th on Sunday. So still not necessarily where I want to be, but finished in the points and brought it across the line. So overly a pretty good weekend. I was kind of just happy to get out on track, to be honest.
But it's all about improvements. And was this in, this is in the UK, was it? What exactly?
Was it Brands Hatch, was it?
It was Brands Hatch, and it was a really, really cool weekend. So it was actually the GT World Challenge weekend. So I was driving past Valentino Rossi inside in the pit lane and Arthur Leclerc. So it was, yeah, it was a very cool weekend. There was such a big crowd there, which was a little overwhelming. Like, there was tens of thousands of people there. But it was just, yeah, the atmosphere was really good. And to kind of see some of your racing heroes out on track as well that weekend was pretty cool.
What's it like racing at a track like Brands Hatch, which the, with the history that it has and with the atmosphere that was there?
Yeah, it was, the atmosphere was amazing. Like, the crowd, like, it was just wild to drive past so many people. And that track, as you said, is so much history, and it's really, really an amazing track. I think it's such a pity that it's not on the F1 calendar anymore, but I can see why. It's such a difficult track, and it's, yeah, it's, the F1 cars are probably too fast now for that track, but It's an amazing track. My body was so sore after it. The turns, the hills, it's just such a challenging track. And yeah, it was just, I was the only woman on the grid as well for the Radical Cup. So to be kind of representing the women was, it was really cool.
And how has that been as well? Has that been quite daunting going into it, being the only woman, you know, in a race suit on the paddock? How has that been? Is it something you're really proud of? Like, is it intimidating? Like, what's it like in that atmosphere?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I wouldn't say it's difficult, because no one's ever given me a hard time, to be fair. You know, everyone's very welcoming. You know, my team is all men, and they've never kind of looked at me differently. They're always willing to help me the same as they are everyone else. So in terms of that, yeah, I don't find it difficult. I suppose when I was the only woman on track and I was the one that caused the red flag in the race to finish, maybe I did feel like, oh, everyone's just going to say it's because I'm a woman or whatever. But you kind of have to forget about those things, and I am proud to be, you know, the only woman out there. Hopefully a few more women will join the championship for the rest of the year, but if not, I will hopefully do everyone proud and keep going and keep improving every week.
Absolutely. And would you talk us through, because you have quite an amazing story of how you got to this point. How did you get into motorsport for people who might not know?
Mm-hmm. So I suppose motorsport has always been in my life. I was named after Eddie Jordan, so I think it was kind of always destined to get me to this point. But I suppose I grew up watching it, and my dad, he did a little Formula V back in the day, but, you know, never actually went anywhere with it. So when you're looking at the TV and there's no female drivers, you're kind of, when you don't have any like people to look up to, you know, it's kind of the thing. They're like, oh, well, it's fun to watch, but it's not something that I can do. But then during COVID, I came across TikTok, which was advertising an all-female competition where the winner would get a fully funded season in the Radical Cup, or not in the Radical Cup, sorry, in the British GT Championship, which is a massive prize. Like, racing is the most expensive sport there is out there, so to get something like that as a prize is huge. So I kind of just said it to my parents that evening. I was like, look, this is after coming up on my TikTok, I think I'm going to apply. And they were like, yeah, sure, what can go wrong, you know, really. I think they might be regretting saying that now, all the money that we spent over the last few years. But like, that was the start of my journey. I went over there and I got to the final that year, but unfortunately I didn't win the competition, but it like just ignited my passion for driving. I've always had a passion for the sport and I've always loved it, but to actually get out on track in a race car for the first time was such a good feeling, and weirdly felt so normal as well. Like, I was always meant to be doing it, kind of a thing. So after that weekend, I was on the plane home with dad and I was like, okay, how do we start? Where do we go from here? And I just kind of got onto teams. I started racing Mazda MX-5s to get points on my racing license. And then I got chosen to represent Ireland in the Formula Women's Nations Cup in Dubai, which I qualified 17th for out of 50 women. And unfortunately, that event got cancelled the week before it was supposed to take place, which was hugely disappointing. And, you know, it was supposed to be something that was to open a lot of doors for us women as drivers. So I suppose that was a really disappointing time, but I'm lucky enough that the opportunities didn't stop there. And I had the opportunity last year to race two rounds in the Radical Cup as part of a team. So I did one round with Jordan Delischke, who's an Austrian racing driver. And I did the other round in Donington with Hannah Selsey, who is an Irish racing driver. And then this year I have decided to go out on my own as a solo driver for the first time. So it means double the time in the car, which also means that I need to be a lot fitter. I need to be able to do 50-minute races at a time instead of 25-minute races. It's all about getting seat time. I would love to get to do some more racing this year, but right now, with the funding that we have, doing the Radical Cup, the four rounds, is all I can afford right now. I'm not even doing any testing beforehand. It's literally just showing up on race weekends and getting out there. But I'm very grateful for where I am now.
I think that gives a really interesting view of the reality of racing, yeah. Because when we think of racing, even on a podcast like this, we're very focused on Formula One. But of course, mm-hmm. for the vast majority of race car drivers around the world, it is a far more time-consuming and comparatively money-consuming sport. I want to touch on something that you mentioned there, actually, about representing Ireland. Because we talk so much to any female racing drivers about what it's like being a woman in motorsport, but what's it like being an Irish person in motorsport? Is it nice to get the chance to race alongside a fellow Irish athlete? And how, I know the competition got cancelled in the end, but what was it like representing your country at an international level?
Yeah, it was great. It was something I could have never even dreamed of, you know, getting to fly the flag for Ireland across the world. But it's been a really great experience. You know, everybody loves the Irish everywhere, so we definitely get a good reception wherever we go. It's just such a good feeling. And, you know, it's like, we're all so proud in Ireland and everyone is so supportive. Like, we have communities like no other in Ireland. The support that I get on a daily basis, even when I come into work, like the amount of people that come up to me every week, like, oh, have you any racing this week? Or, you know, how are you getting on? where are you next week, you know, kind of a thing. So to get to fly the flag every weekend for Ireland is just, it's such a good feeling. And to see the flag on the side of the car and stuff, it's just, it never gets old. And yeah, I hope I can keep doing it and, you know, maybe go up the ranks a bit and fly the flag for at Le Mans one day, hopefully.
But before I definitely want to ask you about Le Mans, but before I do, you mentioned work there. Are you working full time as well as your racing career?
Yep, I'm at work right now. So yeah, I work a full time job now as a biochemist. And yeah, I mean, I love my work. I love my job. I work literally about 10 minutes from home. I work with an American medical diagnostic company. So we make medical analyzers for hospitals which test your blood. So yeah, it's nice to kind of be making a difference, I suppose, in that sense as well. As a woman in STEM, I didn't make it easy for myself with the two passions that I chose. But yeah, I mean, I would love to become a full-time racing driver. That would be the ultimate goal. But, you know, I enjoy my job right now. And if I was to have to stay in this career for the rest of my life, I'd be okay with that as well, because I do enjoy it.
And am I right in saying that you work in quality control in the job that you're currently in, and that very much plays hand in hand with your kind of your motorsport world as well when it comes to reading data? It actually works quite symbiotically, you know, for you.
Yeah, exactly. They go hand in hand, which it's certainly been helpful, you know, in situations like in quality control. You have to be able to make decisions quickly, which is vital in racing as well. And, you know, you have to be able to stay calm and, you know, under stressful situations in both as well. So all that has been quite helpful, and being able to understand that and read it as well has just been huge for racing, because something like that can be quite difficult for people to, you know, be able to kind of, I suppose, transact the data and be able to understand it. So, yeah, I am very lucky that I can use my job in my racing as well.
And for it seems you do everything and anything. Yeah. Am I correct in saying, because I read this, I feel, somewhere, did you also study part-time at the Lear?
I did, yeah. So I actually, I did the Lear and the Gaiety School of Acting as well for a year. So part-time, that's another huge passion of mine that's kind of taken a backseat for the moment. But yeah, when I finished college, again, I don't know, was it COVID that just kind of brought like all of these dreams a reality for me, or I was kind of like, the life's too short, and kind of just finally went to chase after them. So when I finished college in 2021, I didn't really want to start working, you know, in a big girl job yet. So I, you know, the Lear Academy, the Actors Ensemble course came up on my social media, and I kind of looked it up, kind of wanted to see what it was about, and saw that like the likes of Paul Mescal and stuff had went to the Lear, and I was like, oh, this sounds really cool. So yeah, I just decided to make the leap to Dublin. So I moved to Dublin for 2 years, and I worked in a pharmacy in Bluebell while I was there. And yeah, I got to do a showcase in the Lear and in the Gaiety School of Acting. So that's, yeah, it's really cool. Another really cool thing to have on my CV, and it's something that I would love to get back to. I would love to do the full-time course in the Lear or in the Gaiety, but I definitely couldn't afford it with my racing right now. And yeah, it's a full-time job in itself, going to acting school, but I absolutely love it.
And it's so interesting, like, you have so much going on. Like you say, you're a woman in STEM, a woman in motorsport. There's a lot of pressure with that as well. Do you feel that pressure as a kind of role model or as a pillar of a community? And would you ever feel like you're kind of using your acting skills when you're walking down a pit lane to be like, I'm not scared, like, I've got this? Is it quite overwhelming at times?
It can be. I've had very stressful days in the paddock, in particular last year when our engine went and I couldn't get out for testing on the Thursday or the Friday, and it was not fun. And I did have to use my acting skills for a while to make sure I didn't cry in front of all these men. And then I went back to my hotel and I cried and got it out. But yeah, no, it definitely does come in handy, especially, you know, I do a lot of public speaking and stuff. So having that background has definitely helped me. But in terms of pressure and stuff, I try not to feel it. If I do, I try to kind of turn it into something positive and use it that way. I'm someone that kind of thrives off pressure and thrives on being busy. So, and I love change as well. So having these different kind of hobbies and careers is something that I suppose kind of helps me and that I enjoy doing. So yeah, I don't tend to feel the pressure of it.
And obviously being unafraid to tackle all these different jobs and hobbies and sports, was that something that was kind of, as a kid growing up, were you encouraged to take on different sports and to follow whatever dream that you had? Was it something that your family had kind of instilled?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my parents, they didn't say no very often to my sister and I. Like, my poor parents, they were driving us all around County Clare to Camogie, horse riding, music, gymnastics, whatever it was. We were able to try everything, and we were able to kind of just pursue whatever we wanted. And I think we're both very appreciative of that, because, you know, we weren't afraid to follow our dreams, and it's gotten both of us to very good places in our lives. And yeah, it's something I will definitely be doing with my children if I ever have any. But yeah, I'm just so grateful for them to kind of allow us to make mistakes and, you know, learn from them and just, yeah, try so many different things.
I feel like making mistakes and learning for them is pretty much exactly what a motorsport weekend will entail. You know, you can, whatever happens in qualifying, you can either set to improve in the race or to keep steady in the race. When are you next going to be on a circuit racing, do you know?
The 19th of June, I'm going to be at Oulton Park. First time as well at Oulton. So very much looking forward to it. I've heard really good things about the track, so I'm looking forward to getting out there. I'll have test day on Friday, and it'll be the track that I'm racing, luckily, this time. So hopefully I'll know the track before I get out and qualifying. And it's a shorter race weekend this time, so I'll have qualifying and one race on the Saturday, 150-minute race. So yeah, very much looking forward to getting out again.
And is the ultimate dream then, as you mentioned earlier on, to race in Le Mans?
Yeah, for sure. The 24-hour Le Mans is my ultimate goal. So hopefully, you know, getting to get some more sponsors behind my back will allow me to test more and to test in the LMP cars that are racing at Le Mans. I've had some offers from teams, which is crazy, but I don't have the funding to get myself out there. So hopefully, if I can provide some good results this year, I'll make it that way. I suppose as someone who started out so late in my career in motorsport, it's kind of been hard to kind of provide a CV to potential sponsors, and that's something that they really look for when they're, you know, giving people a lot of money. So hopefully getting more seat time this year will allow me to progress towards Le Mans a bit more.
Well, you do have, I believe, at the end of the Radical Cup season, at the start of August, you'll be in Silverstone. So that is a place where you're able to, you know, show what you have in one of the most historic, coveted, you know, racetracks in the world. How excited are you for that? I believe you did unveil with Kit Kat F1 size. I don't know if you saw this. Yeah, like an actual like car size Kit Kat, which is crazy. But how excited are you to be able to race, you know, through Silverstone?
Yeah, so excited. I mean, like, Silverstone is the kind of heart of motorsport, really, isn't it? Like, you know, I suppose England in itself is kind of the hub for motorsport. So to get to race in Silverstone, I'm so excited. And it's on the British Formula 3 and 4 weekend as well. So there should be a good crowd there. So I'm very much looking forward to it, and hopefully there's a good atmosphere and stuff.
I'm sure there will be. And listen, we'll be eager to follow your journey throughout the year, if you don't mind us pestering you as well. And
absolutely.
we wish you the very best of luck now with your race coming up in June, and with your full-time job and your passion for acting. It's amazing. You're a wonderful interview. And yeah, thank you very much.
Best of luck.
Thank you so much, girls. Thank you. I really appreciate you guys having me on. So thank you.
No problem.
The Formula One Pod on Off the Ball. Brought to you by KitKat. Hit pause. Have a break. Have a KitKat.